You're listening to Yap, Young and Profiting Podcast, a place where you can listen, learn, and profit. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Hala Taha, and on Young and Profiting Podcast, we investigate a new topic each week and interview some of the brightest minds in the world. My goal is to turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your everyday life, no matter your age, profession, or industry. There's no fluff on this podcast, and that's on purpose. I'm here to uncover value from my guests by doing the proper research and asking the right questions. If you're new to the show, we've chatted with the likes of ex-FBI agents, real estate moguls, self-made billionaires, CEOs, and best-selling authors. Our subject matter ranges from enhancing productivity, how to gain influence, the art of entrepreneurship, and more. If you're smart and like to continually improve yourself, hit the subscribe button because you'll love it here at Young and Profiting Podcast.
Hala, so fun to have you back.
So happy to be here, Donald. I'm super excited for this conversation.
The reason I wanted to have you back is because everybody listening to this needs to have a social media presence, wants to have a podcast, wants to figure out LinkedIn, and has done nothing about it. Because it's hard. It's hard to figure out. And you at Young and Profiting, you actually take leaders like me, like the leaders listening to the show, you help them get a social media presence, you help them grow that presence, you help them start podcasts, you help them get on LinkedIn and use these marketing, you know, methodologies, if you will, to grow their business. And so I thought we'd talk to you about best practices. Let me ask you first, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, which is most important? Where should everybody start?
I think it depends on who you're trying to target, but I think that LinkedIn has some great organic reach still. And there's lots of ways to go viral, grow your audience in an organic way. So I'd say LinkedIn is a great place if you're trying to reach professionals, if you're doing something that is of educational value, that's where you want to play. If you're more visual and you have a brand that might target a younger audience, maybe Instagram is for you, but LinkedIn has some great organic reach that a lot of people have not tapped.
So if you're business to business, LinkedIn, right? I mean, if you're business to business, that's where you need to start.
Well, also business to consumer is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn has a great business to consumer site as well. So it's not just B2B anymore.
What sort of businesses succeed on LinkedIn? What have you seen?
I think that coaches do really well on LinkedIn. Anybody who does business consulting does amazing on LinkedIn. Authors do really well on LinkedIn.
But the thing is, and I know that probably 90% of my audience feels this way, I'm tapped out, right? You know, here's the honest truth, Hala, and this is a confession to everybody listening. I'm afraid it's going to enter me into relational commitments that I don't have the bandwidth to carry through. So it's not a fear of technology. It's none of that. What it is, you know, Don, can you send me a copy of your book? Or my uncle read your book. He's a big fan. Would you mind recording a voicemail for his birthday? It's that sort of stuff that I just go, I don't have the relational bandwidth to actually respond well. So I'm just not going to get started. What do you say to somebody like me?
Well, for example, what we do at my company is that we generate direct message scripts. And so I actually have a document that has commonly asked questions in your DMs that we update consistently. So if somebody is always asking for a link to your podcast or a link to your, how do I buy your book? How do I approach you for services? You can actually get your team to respond on your behalf if you have a canned list of frequently asked questions that we can respond on your behalf. And then you can have a tracker on the side that notifies you when there's a message that you actually need to respond to that's high priority. So I would say there's ways to automate and have a process around that so that the direct messages that you get isn't preventing you from growing your brand and growing your business, because there are ways to streamline that.
So you can actually job a lot of this stuff out. And then the important leads that you get on LinkedIn could be channeled over to your email and you might get on the phone with that person or whatever. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. So basically creating a DM script that a VA can follow. And then, you know, either we send them an email to contact or a number to call, or, you know, a team like mine can notify you that you have messages to respond to.
Yeah. And full disclosure, you do this for people.
We do.
You act as that VA, if you will, and you can handle their LinkedIn account, plus Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff, right?
Yes, all Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. But like I said, LinkedIn is where it's at in terms of organic reach. Twitter and Facebook, we kind of, it's just autopilot. There's not many eyeballs that you can really grab from there without paid advertising behind it. So really LinkedIn, Instagram is where we focus most in terms of original content.
What do you mean by organic? I've heard you say organic a few times. And what does that mean in the context of what you're talking about?
So basically growing your following with content and through strategies like comment engagement, it's basically anything not paid. So without paying the platform to promote your posts. LinkedIn doesn't even have that for personal pages in full transparency. You can only do that for company pages. So LinkedIn is only organic on personal pages. You can't even do paid. So anybody who has a following on LinkedIn grew it themselves. Whereas Instagram, you could do paid promoted posts and grow that way, but it's actually very slow and inefficient. And there's other ways to grow on Instagram.
And now a quick break from our sponsors.
Hey, Yap Fam, starting my LinkedIn Secrets Masterclass was one of the best things I've ever done for my business. I didn't have to waste time figuring out all the nuts and bolts of setting up a website that had everything I needed, like a way to buy my course, subscription offerings, chat functionality, and so on, because it was super easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your first product, finally taking your side hustle full-time, or making $500,000 from your masterclass like me. And it doesn't matter if you're selling digital products or vegan cosmetics, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered as you scale. Stop those online window shoppers in their tracks and turn them into loyal customers with the internet's best converting checkout. I'm talking 36% better on average compared to other options out there. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from huge shoe brands like Allbirds to vegan cosmetic brands like Thrive Cosmetics. Actually, back on episode 253, I interviewed the CEO and founder of Thrive Cosmetics, Carissa Bodnar, and she told me about how she set up her store with Shopify and it was so plug and play, her store exploded right away. Even for a makeup artist type girl with no coding skills, it was easy for her to open up a shop and start her dream job as an entrepreneur. That was nearly a decade ago. And now it's even easier to sell more with less thanks to AI tools like Shopify Magic. And you never have to worry about figuring it out on your own. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, so you can focus on the important stuff, the stuff you like to do. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/profiting, and that's all lowercase. If you want to start that side hustle you've always dreamed of, if you want to start that business you can't stop thinking about, if you have a great idea, what are you waiting for? Start your store on Shopify. Go to shopify.com/profiting now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, that's shopify.com/profiting. Shopify.com/profiting for $1 per month trial period. Again, that's shopify.com/profiting. Young and profiters, we are all making money. But is your money hustling for you? Meaning, are you investing? Putting your savings in the bank is just doing you a total disservice. You got to beat inflation. I've been investing heavily for years. I've got an E-Trade account. I've got a Robinhood account. And it used to be such a pain to manage all of my accounts. I'd hop from platform to platform. I'd always forget my Fidelity password, and then I have to reset my password. I knew that needed to change because I need to keep track of all my stuff. Everything got better once I started using Yahoo Finance, the sponsor of today's episode. You can securely link up all of your investment accounts in Yahoo Finance for one unified view of your wealth. They've got stock analyst ratings. They have independent research. I can customize charts and choose what metrics I want to display for all my stocks so I can make the best decisions. I can even dig into financial statements and balance sheets of the companies that I'm curious about. Whether you're a seasoned investor or looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com. That's YahooFinance.com.
What sort of stuff do you put on LinkedIn? Because used to it was just your resume, but now you can write articles, you can post videos. What sort of stuff can you put on LinkedIn and what works?
Yeah, so that's a great question. LinkedIn is all about standing out. So a lot of people do LinkedIn wrong. They're sharing articles, which is a big no-no because you never want to point to a third-party platform because LinkedIn wants everybody to stay on LinkedIn. So once you share an article to like Business Insider or Forbes, you're telling LinkedIn, I want to bring people off your platform and they're going to deprioritize that post.
Ah.
So you never want to share to a third-party platform and you want to keep it on LinkedIn. So what works really well is big pictures of people and faces, portrait size pictures, the bigger, the better, the brighter, the better, the more engaged face, the better, because people engage with other people. And a lot of people on LinkedIn are only posting text or sharing business stories. And there's a lot of active users on LinkedIn who are looking to build a community and have a conversation.
But I mean, you're describing Instagram. What's the difference?
There are differences in terms of the types of copy that you write.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn is more value driven. So I have a formula called HIC. So it's hook, insight, call to action.
Give me an example of a hook.
Sure. So a hook is like, do you want to know a juicy secret? Or, you know, I had the worst day yesterday. Something that's going to make them curious. The other thing that I like to do in a hook is tell the moral of the story. I actually like to put the moral of the story in the hook. So like, I'm thankful for everybody who has told me no. And people are like, what? You know what I mean? And then at the end, you could be like, you know, thank God everybody told me no. You know, don't let rejection stop you from living out your dreams, or you know what I mean? Like tie it all back together at the end. So then you go into an insight. And if you can build a story in that at the same time, you're really going to win. So if you can have a hook, an insight, but in that give a story that ends on a high note that teaches somebody a lesson. And the key with LinkedIn is that you actually want meaningful content. So it can't be content where you read it and you're like, well, what did I even learn from this? Like, this was a waste of my time. It needs to either make people feel motivated or they need to actually learn something from that post that's a unique insight that is not often thrown around, that they learn something new, like a new phrase or a new concept, and really give value. So on LinkedIn, people read and they want the value. Speaking of people reading, chunky paragraphs don't work. So even though people want to learn something, it has to just be line by line.
You know why? Because the human brain doesn't want to burn very many calories to get what it wants. So it wants something that helps it survive and thrive. And when it sees big paragraphs, it says, I'm going to have to think too hard. And it starts weighing an algorithm on whether this is worth it before it even reads the document. So it's literally just a visual cue to say, this is going to be easy to read. And then you'll find that people get a better shot. We talk about that in our copywriting.
Yeah. And I think copywriting is one of the best skills that you can have. And
yeah, period.
All you want to do is just figure out, how can I make this shorter? How can I get the point across without saying too many words? You never want to put in fluff words that don't mean anything. Just what's going to drive the story home, and anything else you want to cut out. It's called broetry. That's what it's called, this line-by-line style.
I've never heard of that. That's perfect.
Yes. It was coined like 2 years ago by Josh Fechter, who is like the first guy who really went viral on LinkedIn and started posting content. And he calls it broetry because it's just this like casual line-by-line frat boy style of writing, apparently. And the other thing to remember is the call to action at the end. What are you doing to actually drive comments? Because that's what's going to make your post go viral, the shares and the comments and the likes. So all that engagement together. If you don't have comments, you're never going to go viral. So you might want to say like, tag two friends if you agree, or, you know, drop a thumbs up emoji if you know, you agree with this post, or let me know what you think about XYZ.
I love it. So those are great tips on LinkedIn. Every time I talk to you, you motivate me to go figure out LinkedIn. Okay, podcasts. Everybody is starting a podcast. I just had lunch with a friend the other day. He wants to start a podcast. He actually has a great idea for a podcast. I hope he does it. My whole thing with podcasts, because we've been doing this going on 4 years, it's a lot harder than it seems like it's going to be. I mean, you know, if you don't have the right microphone, you could look like an amateur. And God forbid if you're not a good communicator. And then not only are, you know, do you have to be a good communicator, if you really want to work, you have to have a good editor. Then you need interesting guests. You don't need famous guests, but you need interesting guests if you're gonna do guests. You need to decide your format. Are you gonna go 15 minutes? Are you gonna go 3.5 hours like Joe Rogan, right? And everybody was like, well, Joe Rogan does this. Well, Joe Rogan is Joe Rogan. One, he's very interesting. He's infinitely curious. And then he's got A-list celebrities on his show. So you're not Joe Rogan.
And he also started 15 years ago, which is
started,
a big
deal. Yeah, started a long time ago. You know, you're having lunch with a friend, huh? And they say, look, I want to start a podcast. Be honest with me. What percentage, because you've been told that probably 30,000 times, what percentage do you go, oh, in your head, you don't say it out loud, oh, please don't. How many people are you just like, you're not the person? Is there a group of people that you're just like, you shouldn't do this?
I would say like 80% of the time.
80%? You're being honest. 80%. Now, everybody who's listening to this who's had lunch with you thinks they're in the 20%. So that's the good news. But what is it about them that you just go, you shouldn't do it? What are you seeing or hearing in them that they make the 80% who shouldn't have a podcast?
Because they don't understand that, first of all, you're not going to make money overnight. You need to realize that it's going to take a year or two or a lot of investment if you actually want to build your downloads substantially and be able to get, you know, advertising and sponsorships. Or you need to have a converting offer for your podcast if you want to make money, if you want to sell your own courses or you have your own business. Some people who want to start podcasts who have no business idea around it, I think is set up for failure. Because if you don't have money to invest in your podcast in terms of the promotion, the media buying, just the quality of the podcast, there's too much competition.
Yeah. And it's getting more every day, every day. I bet you there are 1,000 podcasts launched every day.
Yes. And most people don't get past their 7th episode.
Wow.
It's called pod fade. It's a real thing.
I love all these new terms. Okay, so what are you seeing or hearing if they're in the 20%? If you're going, no, you actually should really do this.
Well, if they are willing to invest in their podcast, if they have a great network of connections, like if they already have amazing clients, for example, that they can pull in for their podcast or big names in their network, if they already have a brand on social media and an active audience, that's a great sign. And that's an easy way to drive people to your podcast. What's bad is when people have no audience, no business concept to drive ROI, because podcasting does take investment if you want to do it right. There's very few people who can just turn it on and get an active audience. But there are people who have no social media following who do end up doing really well. I know this guy, his name is Robert Leonard. He has this show called Millennial Investing. And it's a great name. You know, I think a lot of people are Googling like millennial investing, and there was a niche in that market. He started it 3 years ago or so before it really started booming, and he has no social media following till this day and gets as many downloads as I do on my podcast.
Wow.
And does a great job. And it's because he's got a great name.
And he's got a great topic and there's a demand for it. And yeah, he figured some things out there.
Hold tight, everyone. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Young and Profiters, I've been a full-time entrepreneur for about 4 years now, and I finally cracked the code on hiring. I look for character, attitude, and reliability. But it takes so much time to make sure a candidate has these qualities on top of their core skills in the job description. And that's why I leave it to Indeed to do all the heavy lifting for me. Indeed is the most powerful hiring platform out there, and I can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. With Yap Media growing so fast, I've got so much on my plate, and I'm so grateful that I don't have to go back to the days where I was spending hours on all these other different inefficient job sites, because now I can just use Indeed. They've got everything I need. According to U.S. Indeed data, the moment Indeed sponsors a job, over 80% of employers get candidates whose resumes are a perfect match for the position. One of my favorite things about Indeed is that you only have to pay for applications that meet your requirements. No other job site will give you more mileage out of your money. According to Talent Nest 2019, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Join the more than 3 million businesses worldwide who count on Indeed to hire their next superstar. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/profiting. Offer is good for a limited time. I'm speaking to all you small and medium-sized business owners out there who listen to the show. This is basically free money. You can get a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/profiting. Claim your $75 sponsored job credit now
at Indeed.com/profiting. Again, that's Indeed.com/profiting and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/profiting. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, when you keep using the term investing, that you have to invest in this, you know, I think you mean more than just economic investment, but I do want to dial in on where you would invest money to grow your podcast. You probably also mean time and research. And so that, can you break down what you mean by investing in your podcast?
Of course. So a lot of people think that to have a podcast, you just have these conversations and you put it up and the people are just going to magically find your podcast on these apps. But there's a lot of other things that go into it. And I always advise that you should do 50% promotion and 50% production. A lot of people are more like 90% production and 10% promotion. But if you keep putting out this content and nobody's listening, what's the point? You know, so I always tell people scale back, put out less episodes and focus on your promotion and build that audience before you keep throwing content at them. Because otherwise, what is the point if nobody is listening? Your content's just going stale and nobody's hearing it, right? So investing means what are you doing for your micro content on social media?
So repurposing your podcast and showing little bits of it. I mean, if you go to YouTube and you just Google anything, Joe Rogan has talked to somebody about it. And you can get watch a little video there that's 4 minutes long. Is that the sort of stuff that you're talking about that we should do?
Exactly. So creating clips out of your podcast that you're going to put on social to drive people from your social to your podcast to try to get subscribers that way. Now, that's actually very difficult to do because most people who are going to find your podcast are actually going to find them in the apps. So first of all, right now in America, only 50% of people in America listen to podcasts.
Well, I mean, 50% is a lot. It's 150 million people.
It's a lot. But when you're putting out a social media post, 50% of those people don't even want to listen to podcasts. They know about podcasts. They're not interested. And so it's kind of a hard sell. And then there's the friction of getting people to actually subscribe to your podcast from social media because a lot of people don't know how to do that right. Because there's lots of disparate podcast players. People have an iPhone, they listen on Apple Podcasts, but if they have an Android, they might listen on CastBox or they might listen on Podcast Republic or Player FM or all these other apps. Now, a lot of people are only putting out their Apple link to subscribe, but it's only 30% of people are listening on Apple Podcasts. So if you send that link and nobody's listening on Apple Podcasts, 70% of those people aren't going to get to your podcast and subscribe. So there's certain things that you need to do, like use a chartable smart link so that it can automatically redirect to the right platform. So there's lots of nuances that you have to learn. And that's also an investment, just learning of how everything works and how you can actually get people to convert and subscribe to your podcast. The other thing I'll say is when people are liking and commenting on your micro content, that's people raising their hand and saying, hey, I want to listen to your full episode. So how are you retargeting those people? You might need to create a process where somebody on your team is DMing them and saying, hey, thanks for liking my post. I'd love for you to listen to the full episode. And then they're sending them a smart link from Chartable that redirects them to the player of their choice so that they can actually listen to your content. There's a big gap between people going from social to podcast because it's a new industry and there's lots of disparate platforms that people listen to.
Okay, so does Young and Profiting do this when you actually handle somebody's podcast? Do you have people DM people who like the post and are you posting on their Instagram and on their LinkedIn? And do you cut down the sections of the podcast?
Yes.
Wow.
So basically the process is my social media copywriter will listen to the whole episode. They'll write the show notes, the timestamps. They'll pick out the clips that they want to promote, send that to the video team. We chop it up, write the copy, put it up on social. Anybody who likes our comments, we retarget them to go listen to the podcast. So it's super full circle.
You literally, if you're listening to this episode right now, Hala just gave you a template for how to promote a podcast as a routine mechanism that you can do over and over with your team, or you can hire her to do it yourself. I got to tell you, Hala doesn't pay us anything to come on here. She just has really valuable information. Okay, I got to be brutally honest though, and I'm wondering if you're going to be honest with me back. What if somebody calls you and they want to do a podcast and they've got all sorts of money because they're a trust fund kid and they're a total doofus on the microphone? What do you do with that person?
Lots of coaching, lots of scripting.
You work with them anyway? You don't say, look, you're not going to make it.
So far, I haven't had anybody approach me that just absolutely had no talent. I mean, there's people that really need help. One of the things that we do is we can have a producer on the line.
You give them like suggestions?
Yeah, we write the questions.
That's what Bobby does for me. Because Bobby, I'm a doofus and he just helps me out.
And then there's lots of post-production that we can do. We do air checks and editing and chopping things up and making it as good as we can. And hopefully, you know, they continue to improve. There's another investment piece that I really want to make sure that we hit, though, because it's a big one that a lot of people don't know about. And that's media buying for podcasts. There's paid ads on social media, and that really doesn't work for podcasts. Where you want to be is actually inside the app. So I alluded to this before. People on social media, 50% of them don't listen to podcasts. It turns out that most people are going to find you in the podcast players. And the average listener listens to 7 different podcasts. So you want to be one of those 7 podcasts. And the way to do that is to advertise inside the app. So if you've ever been on a podcast app outside of like Apple, Apple's the only one that really doesn't have these opportunities. There's like a banner that has like, it will see like top podcasts that are like rotating on a banner, or there might be featured podcasts and it might be categorized by section. Other podcast apps offer the ability for you to be integrated into the onboarding process. So when somebody signs up to the app, you're pre-checked as a podcast they should listen to. And this is super powerful and very little known. And it's how all the podcast networks grow their shows. It's how I grow my shows. And it's basically coordinating with these different podcast players and buying advertising within their apps. So whether that's audio ads, banners, featured spots, or getting incorporated in the onboarding. And they can even send a push notification to all their users when you drop an episode during the promotion period, which is huge. So it's a way that I've grown podcasts from like 200 downloads to 20,000 downloads an episode in less than 6 months with some investment.
Paula, your advice, as always, has infinite value. You're one of my favorite people to talk to on this podcast, and I'm always grateful that you come on. Paula, where can people find out more about you? If they want to buy your service to get on LinkedIn and start a podcast, where do they go?
They can go to youngandprofiting.com if they want to find out about our Yap Media Services. They can also check out the podcast. It's an amazing show. We're number one education podcast across all apps. It's for all ages, even though it's called Young and Profiting. I interview Seth Godin, Daniel Pink. So you guys can check out Young and Profiting on your favorite platform. You can find me on LinkedIn. Search for my name. It's Hala Taha, or Instagram at Yap with Hala.